Good morning. Good looking group today. As we have gone through this summer, we've hit on a lot of the Proverbs, and today we're going to kind of close out the book. But I will tell you there's plenty more to be looked at in there. But this is a good parting place for now. And as we've gone through this book in the last several weeks, we've really heard a lot of sound advice from Solomon. And here's the problem, though, with Proverbs or honestly, any passage of Scripture, while the passages remain true no matter what, without making application to our lives, there will always fill inside of you a null and void. I've been in ministry now for 21 years, and the one consistent thing that I have seen is people who long and desire for the Word of God to have an impact, but an unwillingness to adapt and change in their lives, they lack impact. I'm not saying that none of this has ever not impacted them or doesn't hold truth for believers, but I am saying that if you look at our current world situation, it sure feels like, maybe I'm wrong. No, I don't think I am wrong. I'm not going to even say that. I think it looks like we're lacking and holding and gripping to the Word of God. So why? And I think the glaring answer is seen in this thought. I don't care if you're a believer, if you're a non-believer, we like to be in control, don't we? I mean, when you look at our culture, you can see the influence of this. We tend to want to follow our heart or follow ourselves, and we lose sight of the fact that God wants the best for us. I want to make sure you understand that God's not looking to punish. He's looking to give you the absolute best you could possibly have. But why? Why? Why is this such a battle? Because I think we agree and believe that. But it's still a battle. Why aren't we fully invested in this? What keeps us from trusting God more? I'm not saying you don't trust God at all. I'm not saying you're not invested at all. I'm saying we lack greatly. And when we're left to our own thoughts, we tend to get in trouble, or at the very best, we act out of, and I speak for myself, pride. Pride's one of the greatest songs by U2, but one of the worst enemies of us as believers. But you know what? There's hope. There is hope. See, Proverbs has shown us that wisdom and foolishness are both based out of where our heart is based. A heart based in humility leads to wisdom. A heart based in pride will lead to foolishness. And there are many, many times in my own specific life that I have allowed, even not that long ago, where I've allowed pride to define my decision making only to fall at the end. And it's only in times that I have fully embraced God and humbled myself. And I want to make sure you hear that, where you humble yourself and you humble yourself in such a way you're trusting Him, that decision making pays out in wisdom. I've got a lot to say about this, and this one hit me square in the nose this week. But before we go too much further, I want to take a moment to read through our center passage for today. And we're going to reference a lot of the verses that we've looked at already this summer. But let's go ahead and look at chapter 16 of Proverbs, verses 18 through 20. And then we're going to pray. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Whoever gives through the word to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. So let's trust in Him and pray to Him now. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your truth. Lord, as we come to your truth today, I pray that, Lord, first, if we have things that we have unconfessed inside of us, that we just confess it to you now. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, that you would remove the blinders from our eyes and allow us to connect with you in a way that we hear you so diligently speaking to us, Lord, and where the enemy is going to try to dig in. Lord, remove their talons. Spirit of God, we ask you to fall in this place, to make your truth so overwhelming that we can't help but pursue it even more. it's your kingdom, Lord, that we do these things as we wait for your kingdom to come again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we're going to take some time to look at what pride ultimately does to us and how we can actually grow in humility. I had a friend in Hoxie, his name was Red, he's passed away, but he used to reference, anytime I reference the word being humble, he would always reference the song, "It's Hard to Be Humble When You Look As Good As Me." So every time I think of that word, I think of him. But look, we can grow in humility, but it's going to be based upon who and what we follow. So our first effort this morning is we need to have a clear understanding of what pride actually does to us and how it affects our lives. And when we look close, we see this, that pride leads to foolish behavior. Pride leads to foolish behavior. And I know I actually get this idea of following your heart and trusting yourself. I understand that. It makes sense. But here's a big but here for you. Does following your heart always mean you're making the right decision in your life? You should ask that, because what if your heart, is there any chance that your heart's not in a good place? What if your heart's not in a good place and you don't know it's not in a good place? What if your heart's not in a good place and you know it and you just don't care? See, trusting your heart and trusting yourself, it's going to cause pride to stir up inside of you. And what if it's pride that is leading those thoughts? The world will tell you, look, rely on yourself, protect yourself, trust your heart. But that is not what the Scripture says. In fact, if you look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, it says, "Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered." And then in our passage this morning, verse 18, it said, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall." What leads to foolish behavior then? Pride. Pride does. When we put ourselves in a place of being, I'm the ultimate source, I know what I need, I know what I want, I know what I trust, we're kidding ourselves, okay? We are being prideful. Why? Because the heart of us, it's sinful, gang. I cannot stress this enough. I need you to understand this. As your pastor and as your friend, I'm telling you, my heart is sinful. And so is yours. And trusting in your heart is going to lead to some seriously, seriously foolish things. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I love this verse, who can say, I've made my heart pure. I'm clean from my sin. See, Solomon poses this rhetorical question, and it's clearly a rhetorical question because the answer is obvious. Is anyone among us just pure in heart at all time? Has any one of us just been able to walk away from sin at every moment? No. None of us are completely pure. None of us are completely clear of sin. Are there times we choose rightly? Yeah. Are there times we do good? Yes. Are there times that we glorify God with our decision making? You are absolutely right. But the truth of the matter is, we also make poor, foolish decisions as well. Our heart is sinful. It might be saved, but it's still marred. All the more reason you need Jesus. I wrote this originally, and I wrote it this way. We like to believe we're always right. But I changed it this morning because I recognize I got to bring myself into this. See, I speak for myself here. I like to believe I'm always right. I like to believe that I can never be wrong. I like to believe that even when I'm facing Scripture, that there's no chance that I'm going to be wrong in the way that I deliver it. And sometimes my pride can get in the way so badly then I'll convince myself, even when I'm so deadly accurately wrong, that I'm right. And that's a deadly thing for me. Let me tell you, it's a deadly thing for you. There are paths and there are choices that we can make that are not wise, but our pride will not allow us to see that. There are also things that God sees as wise that will move you to do some big things. And then in your heart will say, that's foolish, that's crazy. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? You can't do that. Every ministry move that I have ever made in my life, I can tell you this for sure, it has never, ever, ever made sense on paper. Being here was a crazy move. We were financially in a great place. We were loved by our community. He said, go. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you sure about this? It didn't make sense. And you go. And everybody looked at us and said, you're crazy. You know how strange you look? That's absurd. And sometimes you're going to look like a stranger in this world. Sometimes you're going to look like an alien in this world when you respond in humility to God's leading. So when you rely on self, I promise you, you're going to fall very hard, or at the very least, you're going to miss some major, incredible opportunities. So godly wisdom, it's always, I want to make sure you understand this, it's always going to clash with worldly wisdom. Amen? The world says, if you want to be rich, you need to be stingy and keep things for yourself. Godly wisdom says in Proverbs 11:24, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers more want. The world says, if someone wrongs you, get back at them. Hold a grudge even. Reveal their failures. Make fun of them. Pour it on. Hot fire on hot fire. But godly wisdom says, do not rejoice. In Proverbs 24:17, don't rejoice at when your enemy falls. Don't let your heart be glad when he stumbles. And then if you look even further in 25:21, it says, if your enemy is hungry, this sure sounds like somebody I know called my Savior, give him bread to eat. If anyone is thirsty, give him water to drink. And what I keep hearing in all of that is, be good to your enemy. Love your enemy. It's not just love your neighbor, is it? The world says money is going to make you happy. Get as much as you can. Godly wisdom says, 11:28 of Proverbs, anyone trusting in all his riches, you're going to eventually fall. How many of you, you know the stories. They're kind of overwhelming stories. You see multimillionaires and billionaires whose life completely falls apart. Seemingly on the outside, they have everything monetary they're ever going to need, yet even to the point of death, it falls apart. They still find themselves wanting. I'm not saying having wealth is bad. Bring it on, Lord, if that's what you want to chasten me with. Testify. But God, he says in 15:16 of Proverbs, you're going to be happier with less. Better is a little that you have the fear of the Lord in you than great treasures and troubles that come with it. Look, the world's going to tell you to chase after it, get as much as you can. But often riches bring sadness. Look, that is just a small sample of God versus the world in the mindset of wisdom. Don't trust your ways because we can easily deceive ourselves, right? Let God lead you. When you're foolish, it's like being colorblind. I don't know if you're colorblind. Am I going to ask you to raise your hand? Okay? But I do have a friend who used to be the youth minister here, Cole Saxeter, who is colorblind. He has a hard time seeing things for what they really are. We play a game at least once a week called Ark Survival Evolved. If you don't know what that video game is, so much fun. So much fun. Worth staying up till 2 a.m. for. But when we get lost on this big map, one of the things that we're to do is to try to give a point. Hey, what are you close to? And I will always say, well, I'm close to the blue obelisk. So meet me there. And he'll say, nothing. I say, did you hear me? And he says, did you forget? And then it hits me. And Cole can't see what I see. He can't visualize the way that I can visualize it. It's unfair. It's kind of fun to play tricks on them. And it's going to seem silly to you, but this is what it looks like. See, this will seem silly, but look at how desensitized we have become. I really want you to consider this for a moment. See, we have a hard time seeing things for the way that they really are. We have a hard time watching stuff on TV and not even recognizing the damage some of it's causing in all of us. I don't want to admit it because I have some shows that I just love and I can look past because I love it. We don't consider them bad because they're not that hardcore. And then when you think of it, look, my generation, I really believe, is that generation that saw the shift in TV happen, where we started to see more skin, more skin, more skin. And now it's so far out of control. The violence that you would see. You can buy a video game to beat the tar out of somebody, just to literally beat them to a bloody mess and then laugh about it. The violence that we see is so profuse, and we're not shocked by it. And do you not see that? It bothers me because I'm wrapped up in it half the time. We have become, let me go ahead and say it for me, I have become so self-deceived that even when I know it should be wrong, it should be so clearly visible to me, I can't see that it's wrong. Let's be honest here. There is some really bad junk out there, right? I mean, isn't there? Please, Pastor Derek, don't talk about my show. I'd probably watch it too. But here it is. It's when we go against the grain of what God wants, when we start to self-destruct. Do you see it yet? Wisdom is going to require humility on your part. Friends, we're actually being called away from our pride. We're actually being called to be set apart from our pride. We're being called away from trusting in ourselves. And we're being called to invest and trust in the Lord. If you remember just a couple months ago, this one verse, I preached on this one verse, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And it reminds you a couple verses later not to be wise in your own eyes. How many plans have failed? How many families have fallen apart? How many times have money gotten wasted? How many kids are out of control because we are so hell-bent on pushing back or not seeking the Lord because it might make us uncomfortable? Man, the enemy has done a good job. You know, we have power over the enemy, but I don't want to mistake him for you. He is powerful. And some of you don't even realize he's completely torn your family apart. I was so blind and oblivious that even in my own family, it was starting to self-destruct. But I thought I was protected because I was pastor. And I'm wrong. It's so easy to see that we're to seek the Lord. But why is it so hard to do? Well, gee, Derek, thanks for the pick-me-up. Because if this is an area of struggle for you, or maybe you just simply didn't know, and that's okay. Maybe even yet, you're just not a believer yet. Here's the beauty part of it all. It's not too late to be rescued. It's not too late to change. Step out of pride. Step into, lean into humility. And so these last two points, they're fairly obvious, okay? It's going to go quick. But they're so important. I want you to grasp it, okay? You want to accomplish this? One way to do that is to follow God's word. You want to lean into humility? You want to learn what that looks like? You've got to follow God's word. Now, I know, again, this seems so painfully obvious. You are very, very smart people. I'm not trying to make you feel silly, but how well are we actually doing at this in our lives? Honestly. I'm not even that great at it, and I dig into it all the time. See, the quickest way to start following God and gaining in His wisdom is to start from a place of humility. And I mean, He did make the world, didn't He? I mean this, look, He has somehow figured out how to make this world work and turn without us dying. You move the earth a centimeter away from the moon, we don't exist anymore. And somehow God has figured that out. So I find myself needing to lean into Him more and more. So the most simplistic way is to humbly look away from myself and to go to God and to go to His Word for some guidance. Now look, humility goes a long way when going to His Word, because when you go in thinking you got it all figured out, you're going to stumble. You got to start at a place of understanding. You are not wise without Him. You are not wise without Him. And you're not always right, Derek. And you don't always have every answer, Derek. And so humility begins with this, Derek. Admit that. And I implore that to you today. In Proverbs chapter 30, Agur acknowledges that he is not wise. Since wisdom starts with recognizing your own lacking in and of it, and that wisdom lies in heaven with God, it is important to understand, you're not wise. No one has ever entered in, look through all Scripture, no one has ever entered in and gone up to God to get wisdom. He just is. Wisdom belongs to Him. And if He so chooses to part it in, it's because you somewhere along the line said, in humility, I believe this belongs to you, I believe it belongs to Jesus, and I want to give my whole life to you so that hopefully I can exert some of that. Not only is wisdom found in the Son, but it's also found in God's words. This is incredible to me. And now if you continue to look in Proverbs 30, in verses 5 and 6, this is what he says. This is Agur speaking here. He says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. And then he gives this very stern warning. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. That's a pretty big warning. But let's get real honest with ourselves. We tend to add to His Word time to time. Maybe it's not in writing things. I'm not doing it from the pulpit and trying to tell you how it's going to be different. But sometimes we try to add to His Word by supplementing to the Scripture as if God needs my help. And we look for relevant, practical guides for our lives to try and smooth out the Word of God. And I want to be as direct as I can here. There is nothing more important I believe I can say about the Word of God than this. The Word of God is already smoothed out. Doesn't need my help. It speaks for itself. Doesn't need Francis Chan's help. It speaks for itself. So don't go making it a mess. I'm not saying disregard the books. I'm not saying don't use those resources, but look, you should be weary of not relying on God's Word more as your ultimate source. You would be shocked. I'm not even joking. You'd be shocked at the conversations, many conversations that I've had to this point of people who lack confidence in the sufficiency of God's Word. It's quite tragic. Look, I have this love and passion for reading, and I want to go ahead and preface this so you understand. I don't always have this with me. I love listening to audiobooks. So much better reading. I love listening. I listen to Francis Chan. I listen to Matt Chandler. And I listen to John Piper. And sometimes I'll even pick up their books and I'll read them. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And they teach some outright incredible truth. But never, ever, ever will I allow them to replace this. Ever. This will never become obsolete. This will never become second nature. But there have been times where it started to look that way. And on that, God's Word is enough. God's Word is enough in all things. We don't have to have massive miracles for the proof of God. God is enough. Are you kidding me? His Word is proof of who He is. His Word spoke and created. His Word was in the beginning. One Word started life. One Word, He can end life. Three words completed at Jesus' work. It is what? Finished. The Word of God is more than enough. More than enough. God must write the Word on your hearts through conversation, but our responsibility is to actively bind. He says in Deuteronomy this way, bind the words of this book around your neck. Write them on your hearts. Wrap them around your fingers like the Old Testament people did. And you look at it and you say, man, they did some crazy stuff back then, but they knew the Word of God. I mean, they knew the Word of God. By the time they were 12 years old, they had the first five books memorized. I'm 45 and struggle with 20 verses. Jonah has a great school that he attends, and Heritage Christian School, and they have Bible memory every week. And I'll tell you what, I get anxious for him. He comes home, sometimes the verses are three verses long. So we're working on it together. And I'll say, Jonah, let's read it, let's practice it. And then he'll say, Dad, now you practice. And I'll go, hold up, son. I have some chest pain, I need to lay down. Look, we don't have to try and figure this out alone. Because God, He wants to pour into you through others. And so He leads us kind of to this final way to step out of pride and into humility. The other way to accomplish this is to follow God's guidance, which is follow godly guidance. And I know it seems trivial. It seems crazy and it seems out of line. Like, duh, we get this. But God puts people in our lives to help direct us. I pray this daily for my son. I pray this daily for my wife, that they would be surrounded with people who are invested in His Word. But the truth is, they're not always going to be surrounded with people that are invested in His Word. That's the truth. So you know what I also pray for them? That they would be so filled with the Scripture that they might be that investment for somebody else. I pray this for you all as well. This can be parents and teachers and counselors and pastors and people of authority. Man, it can be principals. Where is he at? There he is. Listening to good, healthy, godly counsel in your life allows you to dig more and more in His truth. You know why? Because you're going to take their words of guidance, and then the best part of it is, and you've heard me say this, look, don't just take what I say as a guarantee. Check it against Scripture. Please, please, please do. And if I'm wrong, and you know I don't like to be wrong, man, we'll go through it together and we'll figure it out, won't we? I've been wrong. Hate admitting it. It's happened twice in 45 years. But look, here's the thing. We check it against Scripture, which means we dig into His Word, right? It's just reinforcing His Word over and over and over again. It lets you know if at the very least you're getting poor counsel. We are programmed, though, to reject the voice of God and listen to the wrong voice, which ultimately most times it tends to be our own. And it's been that way since the beginning in Eden. So trusting in yourself and listening to Satan, they kind of go hand in hand. After all, pride caused his fall, didn't it? Don't fall into that temptation. But then there was this man who did not fall into that temptation. And when he said alone in the garden himself, where he knew he's getting ready to take on some incredible beatings, and he was going to die on the cross, this is what he said. I don't want this cup, but Father, it's not what I want, it's what you want. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it tells us that was an act of foolishness to the world. But it's the wisdom and power of God, isn't it? If we're going to be wise in God's eyes, that will mean looking strange to the eyes of the world. And if we're going to be wise, that means being humble and submission to the one who is God's wisdom and the one who made right everything for us. It will mean that we're leaning into Jesus. And I cannot press this upon you enough. He humbled himself, we hear in Philippians 2. So much so, even to the point of death. Death on a cross. A humiliating, undeserved, unfair death. And you're worth it. I don't always think you're worth it, but he does. fact, I get mad at some of you. But he figured out how to love you anyway. Yeah, see, here's where we're at today. We are living in a day and an age. Young people, I can't stress this enough for you. You better figure this out now. I have never felt more burdened for a generation of people like I do for you, sincerely. We have had it fairly easy as the church up until now. It's about to get really intense and very real. We're getting ready to find out what persecution looks like. And it may not be being beaten, but it might. It's not going to be, persecution's not going to be based off one person. It's going to be based off the church. Church doors closing because they can't afford to stay open. Truth being half-truths. Relevance becoming more important than the truth itself. Have you looked around? Kind of a weird-looking world. And just so you understand this, you can pray for it to get better. It's not. I want to be clear about that. It's not going to get better. And that's absolutely okay. You know why that's absurd sounding? Because it's different than the world. The world says, we got to get better. Jesus says, look, here's the beauty part of it. It's going to keep getting worse, and it's going to keep getting worse, and it's going to keep getting worse, which keeps pointing to somebody's returning, somebody's returning, somebody's returning. Man, and I welcome that with open arms. So if it's not going to get better, what do we do? Do we just ignore it? No. We got a job to grab every single person that we can and grip them with the gospel the same way you were gripped. And if you're not gripped yet, figure it out. Young people, figure this out. 85-year-old people, figure this out. Get gripped. Because it's getting ready to get intense. And if you don't understand the basics of the truth, of the beautifulness of the gospel, you're going to feel hopeless. Jesus says, you look out, you see the world, you're going to feel hopeless. In this world, you will have trouble. But then he ties it all together. But in me, you will have peace. Figure this out. I can't make you. I'm not going to peek in your windows anymore. I need you to take a hold of this. At some point, I'm going to have to allow my son to fail at something. I just figured that out in the last year. You don't say your spelling words? You're going to spell cushion the wrong way. Yeah, I did it. I don't want him getting left behind. Somebody's got to figure it out. I don't want you getting left behind. I can't keep doing this for you. Take a hold of this incredible gift you've been given and do something with it. Because if we do, empty chairs are null and void. We'll have to move chairs out just to make room for people to stand. Not just here in Rossville, every stinking church around. You know, one of my favorite things about reading about the history of the gospel is when you would see people of the gospel and when they would go and they would be the church, they would have people outside the houses looking in, peering in, hoping to get a glimpse and a hearing of the word. I don't feel like that's happening here. Not just Rafa, I'm talking about the church. It's there for the taking. So we're going to invest some time in praying just for a few moments, and then we're going to dig into worshiping this King who is worthy of all our praise. And if he's calling you to do something, be something, change something, respond. I don't even know what your response looks like. And if you don't know what it looks like, but you know you're supposed to, talk to me. I'll help you figure it out. Or I'll at least connect you with somebody else that can help you figure it out. But don't do nothing. Do something, please. Let's go ahead and pray. Thank you.
Father, we come before you, I pray, in humble adoration as we sang earlier, proclaiming how great thou art. But Lord, my guess is a lot of people are in the same place I was not that long ago, lacking. And Lord, then I come here and I find I'm still lacking. And I want to lean into you, Jesus. So Father, help us to be obedient as we leave this place today. Help us to identify looking strange is okay. Help us to prepare for what is to come. And help us to reach out and grab every single person around us to give them that same hope. Holy Spirit, lead us. Word of God, speak to us. Jesus, forgive us, define us. Pour out your mercy on us. In Christ's name we pray.